John 21, starting with verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And then in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Thank you, Peter. We may need a little help with the microphones as we pass them around, just to mention that. Parting words. That's the overall theme of the conference today, parting words. That's a big subject. You know, one could think of parting words of Jacob in the Old Testament when he blessed his sons at the end of the book of Genesis. Parting words. We think of Moses in the Old Testament when he blessed the 12 tribes at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. We think of Joshua at the end of the book of Joshua and his parting words. And we notice in these examples, these words have significance. They're the things that are left last to hear. And because of that, they have a specialness to it. We don't want to suggest at all that the rest of the Word of God is less important. Of course not. The entire Word of God is important. And yet there is a specialness to these last instructions, these last exhortations, these last words of blessing and reminders. When we come to the New Testament, we have a similar parting words. And we're going to begin this morning with the parting words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we looked at the New Testament, we noted there were many examples, and we only selected a few. So I would encourage you on your own to look at some others, such as 2 Peter, which we will not look at today, the book of Jude, the book of James, 1 John chapter 5. These are portions that also suggest parting words. But here we're going to look at the Lord after his resurrection And the final things he says in the Gospel of John, and how he restores Peter, we have as a caption, these words, shepherding, discipleship, and evangelism. And this last chapter of John is so befitting. It's the third occasion in the Gospel of John where the Lord Jesus appears to them. It's the third record of it. And we know the Lord appeared more than three times after his resurrection. But in the Gospel of John, this is the third time. And just to give a little background of that, we know when the Lord was here, he fed 5,000 at one time. And he used five loaves and two fish. And later he fed 4,000. And here in chapter John 21, he feeds the seven. And he uses the same materials, fish and bread. And no doubt when he does that, they remember who it is that's feeding them. They're being fed by their precious Savior with resources they didn't have. And he brought to them. And he manifested his power by doing that. When he came to them, they had decided to go fishing, as Peter says at the beginning of this chapter. And they go fishing, and it's fruitless. And the Lord Jesus is the one orchestrating the fish under the boat, keeping them from catching a single one. That's how powerful the Lord Jesus is, the Son of God, as presented in the Gospel of John. And he comes to them and asks a simple question. Have you caught anything? Have you any meat, in verse 5? And they have to answer no. They have fished all night, and they've caught nothing. And we find the Lord provides for them. They come, and they're instructed to throw their nets on the right side of the boat. You know, normally fishermen, when they cast nets to fish, they always cast it to the left side because that's man's strength. You throw with your right hand facing the front of the boat, and you throw with that right hand, and you drag it back in with the right hand. The Lord says, no, you cast it on your weak side, on the natural weak side. And what happens? They catch an abundance of fish. First miracle. The Lord Jesus directs those fish. The one who can control the wind and the sea controls what's under the sea. And he has those fish swim right into that net. Second miracle is the net doesn't break. And it's when John, we say, he's the one who says to Peter, it's the Lord. This is a miracle in the process. He caught that. John saw it. And Peter clothes himself, jumps into the water, and swims to the Lord. And the Lord has the food already there. Warm fire. And they're going to have breakfast with the Lord Jesus. A warm fire. Remember a warm fire in Peter's life. The last time he sat at a warm fire, he denied his Savior three times. Now he's at a warm fire. The last time he was at a warm fire was at night. Now it's the dawn of day. They're having breakfast, and the Lord is going to restore him. We may think this portion rather familiar to us, to some of us, but I suggest to you there's a lot of lessons in this. How the Lord shepherded Peter, and how he wants Peter to shepherd his own. How he uses this as an example to us today, how we are to be shepherding believers. So may the Lord help us. We're going to look at that one example, also Peter turning and seeing John walking and wanting to know about him and what the Lord instructs him at the end of that portion of John. And then we're going to look at the Lord's instructions about us being witnesses in Acts chapter 1. Where he gives those parting words as he ascends into heaven. And he tells them that they will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we know that they were faithful and committed to that mission, so the book of Acts conveys to us. So may the Lord help us as we go through this and focusing on shepherding, discipleship, and evangelism. Please remember to use the microphones.